Good evening, one and all. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SouthCars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SouthCars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This car service is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima. And all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our 8-chip operation may be found at www.southcars.com. And for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control actually for this session is Mike, WA1NXI, from the Grand State of Maine. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I'm merely opening up the session this evening. My current temperature is about 72 degrees. We had a high of about 74 today. Very, very stormy day. Low tonight of about 65. It rained all day long, but for the next 4 days, it looks like it's going to be a fantastic day here in South Florida. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, please come aboard. Hearing no emergency traffic, and that's always a great thing for South Cars. How about anyone celebrating a birthday, either last week or this coming week? Too early for me to celebrate, but is there anyone else out there that's having a May birthday?
Well, Kathy, no birthday, but I'm back online, so it looks like we're...
All right. Thank you so much, Gary. You dropped off fast for me. I do see you're on your iPad, and I'll do the preamble and finish it, and then we'll throw it to Mike, and hopefully you'll be there in the background. You know, those little gremlins are really interesting. So, everyone, this is the Global Family Hour. The intent of this net is to encourage members, their families, and their friends worldwide to enter into an informal social net highlighting third-party traffic through the member station. Our program for this Saturday evening is about May fun. Well, I like to say not so much fun. What has happened in the month of May? You know, I know today was the Kentucky Derby. And so, you know, that's one of the events during May. But I want to advise all stations connected that this net will be recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast. All stations participating will be part of that recording. But without going any further into the program this evening, I'm going to call on our NCS. WA1NXI, you're doing dual duty today, Mike, but I'm looking forward to your program this evening, and I have a few things to share about me. So how about coming aboard and starting your program this evening?
All right, Kathy. Well, thank you for running that preamble and bringing up one fun thing, I guess, if you enjoy horse racing, the Kentucky Derby. And May is actually a very interesting month, Kathy. There's lots of history and that happened in the month of May, and some of it probably was not the fun type of stuff, but all kinds of interesting facts happened in May. I was reading some of them online earlier today, and Might mention a few of those if it slows down a little bit. But anyway, we'll go ahead and open it up for check-ins. This is Whiskey Alpha 1, November X-Ray India. Mike up in the great state of Maine, where May is not the usual May. Actually, I hurried home to make the net, and before the net started, I went down and started a fire in the wood stove, if you can believe that, for the month of May. But anyway, let's see who we got with us tonight and who wants to come aboard and get on the log and share a little. This is WA1MXI, looking for check-ins.
Victor Hotel.
One India. Six, Victor.
JBH.
All right, good start. We'll go ahead and pick them up in the order in which I heard them. KF5VH, Steve. Welcome aboard, Steve.
Thank you, Mike. Good evening, everyone, from Lafayette, Louisiana, where we made our mid-80s today. Maybe in Louisiana now, but was born and raised a Hoosier in the state of Indiana. And I can remember when the 500 was a month-long event. My understanding is it doesn't quite receive the attention that it used to. But the month of May is something that always gets me triggered for listening to and sometimes watching the race. And along that line, if you've looked at the website and saw the top box with the red number 40 car, I'd be interested in knowing if anyone tonight, when you check in, can you tell me who the driver is, and can you tell me why that car is important? Everyone have a great night, and enjoy May. Back to you, Mike, KF5VH.
Well, very good, Steve, and thanks for coming aboard, and see if anybody can answer that when they check in, kind of like a trivial thing. If anybody wants to take a stab at it, I'll have to check with Gary on the answer, because I'm not really sure. I did hear you bring that up on on the morning net, Gary, and I went and looked, and I didn't even see a picture of a car. Not sure why, or maybe I didn't look in the right spot, but I looked at the big box on top. I was trying to remember what was in it, but I don't believe it was a car. But anyway, I'm sure other people checked it out also, and we'll see if anybody can come up with that answer. And I'll break with you for right now, and we'll go pick up Paul, WQ1I. And good evening to you, Paul, and welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike, good evening. Yeah, I just jumped over there real quick. I didn't look real hard, but I didn't see a picture of a car either. Of course, I don't know what a car is. Anyway, that could be the problem. Hey, Mike, WQ1I here in Danbury, Connecticut. And, May. Well, May to me has been, for many, 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 many years, playoff ice hockey time. Unfortunately, my team is already gone. They've been knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. So, but there's still a lot of good hockey on if you're into ice hockey. And, Mike, even though I was bemoaning the fact I did get out today and I did do some stuff out there in the yard, some raking, some cleaning up, some mowing. I actually mowed the lawn and that kind of stuff there. I did not get out on the bike, though I moved it out of the garage, put gasoline stabilizer in the snowblower, hoping that I'm not going to need it again this year or this season, and put it to the back of the garage. I moved the bike out all ready to go. I need to check the tires and the air in the tires before I actually go riding that bad boy. Anyway, Mike, do a good net. Make us proud. And I'll be listening. WQ1I back to WA1NXI. And good evening, everyone on the net.
Well, very good, Paul. Yeah, I don't follow hockey too much. I played hockey when I was a kid, but I like to watch football. But anyway, yeah, I didn't get much yard work done like my plans. I didn't get no painting done and none of that stuff I planned on getting done today there, Paul. But I did go over to my youngest son's, Mikey's, and we're building a swing set for my grandson out of 4x4s and some decking plank for a deck, it's going to be a pretty good swing set. You probably ought to weigh about 1,000 pounds by the time we're done. We started it on one part of his lawn, and then his wife came home and she wanted it moved over to the other side of the lawn, so we carried it over there, and oh man, that thing's going to have some weight to it. But anyway, I'm glad you're here tonight, Paul, and hope you chime back in during the net, maybe comment on some stuff, or if you happen to think of some more fun things. And I see Gary said that he saw the car, in the text box, so I guess it's still there. And I guess you said you didn't see it, so I guess you don't have a stab at that answer, Paul?
No.
All right, just thought I'd give you the opportunity to be the first one to take a stab at it. But anyway, thanks for being there, and jump back aboard. And I'll go ahead and break with you, and we'll see what Gordon is up to. KY6B, good evening, Gordon. And welcome aboard the Family Global Hour.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Good evening to everybody. Gordon here, KY6B. First of all, on the picture on our website, if you put your cursor on the main page right over the current picture and left-click it, it will change to another picture. If you do this a couple of times, you'll find the car that Steve is referring to. We've got multiple pictures within that particular frame. And I think there's a indication down below to click the picture to see additionals. While I'm on this subject, Steve, I'm not really sure what the answer is that you're looking for. Sterling Morlin, you know, back in 2008 was running number 40. And did a number with that. I also know that Erlenhardt's family was financially enrolled with a team that was supporting number 40, but that's as far as I can go with it at this point. Mike, I want to say that I just love this New England drawl coming out of both you and Mr. Danbury, the cough business. I got this more from Massachusetts to start with, but I thought you went and got in a cough and had a bit. Any rate, May fun. Let me buy a nickel a moment. It's not fun down here in Florida at all. Started about mid-April when we decided on a new house. Got that all squared away. Took possession on it on the 1st of May. We're making many travels to take our possessions from our current house to the new house. Today was not bad in that episode, other than it was raining just cats and dogs. Barrels and catfish, thunder and lightning, slowed everything up, made travels on the roads very slow, and was no fun at all, Mike. KY6V, back to net. Over.
All right. Well, Gordon, at least you're getting your stuff moved in. Probably got a little wet, and can't imagine that was any fun, but just think of how much fun it's going to be when you're all moved and settled in, and it'll all be worth it. You guys will be happy down there in Florida. Maybe the rest of the May will be fun with any kind of luck, Gordon. When do you plan on being all moved in? Before the end of the month there, Gordon?
Well, you know, we're taking the the box stuff, you know, the China and that kind of stuff down now. We've made 5 loads into the house. The major move is going to be on the 17th, Mike. We've rented a 24-foot truck for all the big stuff. You know, the couches and the beds and the, you know, you name it. So, I don't know. By the end of the month, we'll probably be able to find our toothbrush. And it may be 6 weeks before we feel comfortable, Mike. KY6V, over.
Well, there you go. You'll be all moved in, but don't sound like you're going to have a whole lot of fun for the month of May, Gordon, but it'll all be worth it when it's all said and done. I was going to comment on something else, but now it slipped my mind. Maybe it'll come back. But anyway, I'll go ahead and break with you, and I'll go back and pick up Paul and see what his guess is, and then we'll continue on down the list here. So WQ1I, come on back aboard with your guest there, Paul.
Hey, thanks, Mike. WQ1I here, Danbury, Connecticut. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at that picture, and the first thing I wanted to do was be able to pinch and spread my fingers on it, like on my iPad, so I can get a bigger look at it. But, you know, it looks like an old picture to me. It looks like an old car. And what I'm trying to see is if the driver has a full-face helmet or is just one of those old-fashioned type helmets to get an idea of how old it is. But what strikes me about the car is that bulge on the side of it. Okay, you know, he's kind of sitting off to the, if you're looking at it the way we would be, to the left there, his right, off to the side there of the car, and there's this great big bulge on the side of it. And all I can say is I remember a long time ago that the first Indy car that had like some kind of a jet engine or turbo engine in it, a turbine, looked like that. And I thought it was A.J. Foyt driving it. And I remember the car going around the track, and every time it came by, it just sounded different than all the other cars. But for some reason in my memory, I thought that car was orange. So I could be totally off base. But there is the rhyme and reason behind the insanity of why I think there's something special about that car. I think it's old. I think it's some kind of first car that ever had a turbo or a turbine. There you go. Best I got. That's all I got. WQ1I, back to net.
All right, Paul. I was listening to you. Making the guess, and I was trying to find the picture of that car, but every time I I refresh the page, I get the same picture. I can't get it to change pictures. I get Let's Celebrate the Gmail, and it doesn't seem to change. Oh, there it is. I got it now. I'll have to take a look at that. But yeah, I did get it. So I'll break with you, and you know, I'll go to Gary, RMO, and see if that is the answer that he was looking for. And he said he had a comment anyway. So KC2RMO, welcome back aboard. And I just want to say to Dave JDH to hang in there. I'm going to get to you. I did not forget about you. So RMO, welcome aboard.
Well, hello there, Mike, and hello there, everybody. And looks like we had a little mishap with my audio board here. I think the board died on me. So I'm no longer chairman of the board, you know, but you know, if you're going to park the car, you got to park it in the yard, and then you go in and you have a Narragansett. That's the rule. So you got to do it that way. That number 40 car or car is I think that's Parnelli Jones. And it would make sense if it was Parnelli Jones, because he was the first guy to qualify at over 150 miles an hour, which would make sense if it was that turbo car that Paul was talking about. So my guess is that that it's Parnelli Jones, and maybe it was that first qualifying run at over 150. So maybe Steve will let us know if anybody hits the nail on the head, but that's my guess anyway. So that's what I'm throwing in there right now, and thank heavens for iPads, and back to the net. This is KC2RMO, back to you.
All right, very good. And before I check with Steve on if anybody's getting it right, I'm going to go ahead and I'll pick up the next station on the list here. Maybe he's got a guess, and then we'll, I don't know if I should just keep going for check-ins and let everybody have a stab at it before I ask Steve what the correct answer is, or maybe that'd be the fairer way to do it. But anyway, yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll call on JDH and take a stab at, or see if he wants to take a stab at it, or any comments on some of the fun things that happen in your area for May, and anything else about May, or anything else you'd like to just bring to the net tonight. W3JDH, Dave, welcome aboard the Family Global Hour from WA1MXI.
Well, thank you, Mike. W3JDH here, Dave, in Ocean City, Maryland. Talking about May, two nice things in May. Number one, I'm going to congratulate Kathy and Gordon for the first time from me for a wonderful combination of two antennas to one antenna. And it's great news. I couldn't be happier. I sent that news on to Terry, KK5EJ, a couple of days ago, and he came back and wanted to be heard from, that he welcomes your marriage and congratulations. He lives across the street from my daughter, Beth, in Baton Rouge, and I met him the day that she was moving in down there, and we established a very nice friendship. Unfortunately, she's moving back up to Pennsylvania. She's giving up her job as a research scientist with the United States Department of Agriculture, and she wants to come back north and either teach on a college level or, heaven forbid, open up a bed and breakfast. So she has a PhD in molecular and cellular biology, and she's sort of tired of science. So she's going to try that. So congratulations. Great news. Now, on to the question of the day. I'm not looking at the picture, but I will tell you that my recollection is that Parnelli Jones did, in fact, drive the first turbine in the Indy race. I think it was orange, and he was leading the race, and there was a transmission gear failure right near the end, or he probably would have won that thing. So perhaps that's the right answer, but at least I know that Parnelli Jones was the turbine driver. So great net so far. I have it on my iPad. My cell phone doesn't seem to work, and I was never able to get the right porting to do it on my desktop. So if you're getting this signal, then it's working through the iPad. So back to you, Mike, W3JDH.
Wow, very good, Dave. I see in the text box that Steve wants me just to keep going and let everybody have a chance at it, or before he's going to see what the, or before he's going to fill us in on the right answer, I guess so. But that's pretty good that you know that, because I don't even know who he is, to be honest with you. Don't follow much car racing unless I happen to be behind the wheel on Route 2. But anyway, thanks for being here tonight, and I hope you jump back aboard with any comments or questions or anything during the net. So again, thanks for being here. Thanks for coming aboard, and stay tuned for the answer. And I believe that's the end of my list. Yes, it is. So I'll go ahead and open it up for more check-ins. This is WA1NXI and the Family Global Hour, and tonight we're discussing May fun, and I might add maybe some facts about May also. Maybe I'll wait. I was going to tell everybody that May is, or the flower for May is the lily, and that's one of the kind of fun things that me and my better half, my XYL, will be doing here probably Monday, planting some flowers out in our garden. That's one of our May things. But anyway, we'll see if anybody else is wanting to get aboard. WA1NXI and the Family Global Hour, looking for check-ins.
KD8LOY.
Sierra United November.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
And RMO.
All right. I hope I didn't cut anybody off. I see Jim and Rebecca just came aboard, but I'll call on them after I get through this little list. And the first call I got, I don't recognize this call, but KD8LOY, welcome aboard from WA1NXI in the South Cars Family Global Hour. Good evening to you. Now, I'm sorry, I don't know the name, but Nathan's right there in front of me. Welcome aboard, Nathan.
Yeah, KD8LOY here. Yeah, thanks for having me. I haven't checked in to South Cars for a little while now. I heard RML talking about how he's on an app on a iPad. Well, I'm on my cell phone right now. I thought that'd be something kind of interesting to share. On an Android phone, so I don't really have much to say other than it's rainy season up here in Michigan. Other than that, I really don't have anything else. And Gordon, if you're listening, I'm getting 9 miles to the gallon on the tank, just to let you know. This is KD8LOY, back to net control.
Oh, very good, Nathan. And that was actually one of the facts that I was reading earlier today about the month of May is it's often a rainy month more than most of the rest of the month. So there you go. Like you said, it's rainy season, so that's a May thing, absolutely. And if you happen to think of something else or want to comment on anything else, why, certainly jump back in and feel at home and have some fun. And I'll go ahead and break with you, and we'll go see what Kathy and Sunshine is up to. K6SUN from WA1NXI.
Well, good evening, Mike. Thanks for running the session this evening. And May is a very important month to myself. It's actually the month I was born. May 19th is my birthday. The 16th and the 19th, I've actually decided to take a couple days off. As you well know, Gordon and I will be moving physically, all that hard stuff, on the 17th. I'm sure we'll be tired, and then don't want people at school to be celebrating my 65th birthday, Mike. So I decided to take off a couple days. But it's been a very busy month so far, as you well know. And I want to thank, first of all, Dave, JDH, for his congratulations. Gordon and I are quite happy, and it's been a long time coming, but we're moving quite along with our new residence and our new life. But I wanted to tell you a little bit, Mike, about May for me is of course the Indy 500, which I won't even take a guess at the car because I'm not involved in it either. But you know, today was the Kentucky Derby. I'm not sure who won that. May Day and Lay Day was May 1st, You know, Lay Day is Hawaiian celebration. May Day is U.S. It's International Work Day. It's also a time where you go around that maypole, and it's a time that, you know, maybe you have a distress call. But it's Mother's Day, and Indy 500. And, you know, it's a, let me pause here just for a moment. You know, it's an important month for myself because I'm starting to wind down at school. Actually, starting Monday, start my end-of-course exams at school. About 3 weeks of testing. School is over June the 4th for the children and June 5th for myself. And then I go back for a couple weeks and actually do some summer school. But that's about all I have to report at this moment for May, but it's a very important month for myself. And thank you, Mike, for the lily, but it's also the emerald. You know, I think that's the stone. So I'll turn it back to you, Mike. Thanks once again for running the session, and hello to everyone that's listening.
All right. Very good, Kathy, and thanks for coming aboard and on sharing that. And I was going to... Oh, when you said something about the race, and it was brought up already about the Kentucky Derby race, and the very first one was run in May of 1875. I don't have the best memory in the world there, Kathy, but I was going to bring that up, and a couple other things that you mentioned, and there's actually a few more things that May was known for. National Salad Month, National Egg Month, National Barbecue Month, National Hamburger Month, and Better Sleep Month, and National Photo Month is all in May. So there you go, lots of things happening in May. But I'm going to go ahead and break with you, and we'll go see what VXP. Rick, how was your day, and what's great for you in the month of May? WA1 to N1VXP.
This is N1VXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. And month of May. I can think back over the years that was great in school because it was a transition from indoor sports to outdoor, especially for getting out in recess and gym class to go out and play softball. Always thought about May as a month really to be out outside, enjoying a lot of fun. As far as the car number 40, you know, it's funny. I remember, I think it was 1967, Parnelli Jones, and it was a turbine car. Of course, I'm not sure if that was the year. It was right around that time. The Indy 500 was not televised on TV. It was done on closed-circuit TV in different stadiums, and people had to come in and pay to watch it live. Of course, they had it televised, you know, later in the day, but the actual live telecast was done on closed-circuit TV. And as far as the Kentucky Derby, well, the 2-1 favorite, California Chrome, was the winner. Kind of had a feeling that with all the other horses at anywhere from like 12-1 to 50-1, I was like, nah, I think 2-1 is better favored. But let me drop for a second. There was a little bit of history. I'm not sure, I didn't see it. It's probably in there. The first woman jockey was part of the race. And it was a little statement, if she would have won, that would have really made history. But the first woman jockey for Kentucky Derby was in as well. Other than that, I just think of May as, yeah, definitely warming up. Weather-wise, yeah, we're going to be up in the 80s part of next week, but then back down to the 60s and 70s. It looks like summer overall. Most of the eastern part of the United States, they're talking cooler. The only exception is warmer than average on the West Coast and up in the state of Maine, and colder than normal up in the upper part of Michigan. So it looks like it's going to be, hopefully it's going to be much cooler. I would not mind if it was 70 to maybe 85 throughout the summer. And, you know, that would be very comfortable. Wouldn't have to run the air conditioning that much. Just kind of enjoy the fresh air. And hopefully cool nights, it would be even better. N1TXB back to net control.
Wow, very good, Rick, and thanks for coming aboard. And yeah, I remember you mentioned that this morning about how it was going to be colder in the West, I believe you said, and warmer in Maine. And geez, I hope it ain't a whole lot warmer. Like you said, if it was between 70, 75, 80, if it stayed right in there, that would be perfect for me. I'd love that. So I'm about the same as you on that. But I don't know if it's gonna get hotter or not, or if you read that in the what do they call that book, the almanac, Farmer's Almanac. Is that where you happen to pick that up, Gary? Rick, is that where you got that info? Just curious, not that it matters. Just want to know, I guess. Hi.
No, that was on the Weather Channel. I saw it on the internet, and I overheard on the cable one time they did mention that summer months. They were talking at first June and July, but now they're saying summer overall. But it's the Weather Channel on the cable that on the internet was where I found the information.
Oh, very good. I was just curious because some people were saying before this winter that they were reading in that Farmer's Almanac book that it was going to be the worst winter in 20 years and so on and so forth, and I kind of just blew it off, like, yeah, nobody can predict what's going to happen, but sure enough, it was a pretty cold and snowy winter, so I wouldn't doubt anything else that somebody tells me they read in that book and take it as it comes, I guess, but anyway, I hope our temperatures don't jump up to the hot, humid, like it is in Florida in the summer. We could just stay in the 80s and 70s, well, that would be perfect. So I'm going to go ahead and break with you, and we'll pick up our MO. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. And, yeah, those temperatures, gee whiz. I guess they're still debating whether we're going into a La Nina or if we're going into an El Nino, or we're staying in a La Nina. We've been in a La Nina, and whether this is the end of the La Nina and we're transitioning, I don't know. But that could be why maybe it's a little cooler with the La Nina. I personally would like to see a little warmth. You know, that would be okay, especially after the winter we had here. So that would be fine. But, yeah, we're doing a lot of fun things in May. We just did a fun thing today. Got our new storm door on the deck side of the house, so that's done, and we're going to get the backsplash at least up and ready for grouting tomorrow. So that'll be done, but then I have to move outside and do some stuff out there, a ton of stuff out there, and then I have to move inside and do a ton more stuff in here. So I'm going to have a lot of fun this May around the house, that's for sure. But there's always fun in this house. Always lots of fun. The number 40 car is fascinating me here, and I did a little bit of research while the net was going on, and I don't know if this is significant or not. So maybe, again, maybe Steve, who's the keeper of the secret, can give us a hint if we're on the right track. I know that car, the car, you got me doing that now. You got the that car was sponsored by Studebaker, who at that time owned STP. Whether Studebaker had any significance to it, but also the engine in that car was an aircraft engine. That was a gas turbine aircraft engine. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it either. So maybe, who knows, maybe that's got something to get us on the right path. Let's see what, where that takes us. So we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO. Back to you.
Oh, very good. And yeah, we'll have to check back in and get the answer. I think it has something to do with the month of May, but it's just a guess. So my guess will be that the first time that cow won won a race was in May. And yeah, storm doors. I got that same project going on later this summer. I'm gonna have to put two on, one on the gable end and one on the front door. When we redid the side and we decided not to put the old ones back on, we're just going to pick up a couple new ones and throw those on sometime this summer. So I got some of that May fun coming up here, maybe June, but same fun, just a different day. But anyway, thanks for being there and thanks for coming back aboard again, and I'll break with you and see if we can't get a couple more stations to come aboard. This is Whiskey Alpha 1, November X-Ray India, in the South Cars Family Global Hour. We're looking for some more check-ins and comments or rechecks.
X-Ray, Charlie X-Ray.
Sierra United November.
Oh, very good. And we'll start off with X-Ray Charlie X-Ray. Good evening, Woody. Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. Welcome to Mount Dora, too. Boy, I tell you what, we're treading water down here. It's been raining for the last 3 or 4 days. It's good to hear you again. I think I just heard you this morning. Well, anyway, I've got the grandkids over this evening. I'll see if I can't get them talking on the radio before we go away. And we'll check it out. I don't think they like to do that yet, you know. I'm trying to work them into it there. I grew up in outside of Houston, a little town called Pasadena, Texas. And I spent the last 10 to 15 years in San Antonio, so Cinco de Mayo is a big day for me, you know. I don't think they practice that here too much, I don't know, but I remember it in San Antonio because we had a big flood on that day also, but that's a big celebration day as well, as especially in San Antonio. I mean, they close restaurants and everything, you know, have parades and all kinds of stuff. This is N5XCX, back to net.
Well, very good, Woody. I'm glad you came back aboard. And yeah, I did half of the net this morning. I just did the second half of it. But thanks for being on both nets. Enjoy listening to you. And that, oh, I know I'm not going to say this right. Cinco de Mayo. I'm not even sure what that is. Is that something that's celebrated in another country or started in another country then came here? Or maybe you can just fill me in a little bit about what it is. I read it on the VOIP. Website there, but not sure exactly what it's all about. Roger.
Yeah, I like that. Well, shame on you. Mainer should know that. No. Anyway, it's the Mexican Independence Day. It's kind of like our 4th of July, except it was Mexico. Well, you know, I was looking at this number 40, this race car, and I don't know anything about race cars, so I'm not gonna even gonna hazard a guess, but I was just thinking, boy, I bet those tires cost a pretty penny there. You have a good evening, N5XCX.
Alright, now I get it. Thanks for telling me that. I won't have to wonder anymore, because I seen it on the webpage, and I was going to ask about it, and it slipped my mind, and then you brought it up again, so I figured I might as well find out what it's all about. And you're probably right. You probably paid a pretty good penny for them tires. Probably more nowadays than back then. But anyway, I'll go ahead and break with you, Woody. And if you happen to think of something else or have any comments, please jump back in. And we'll go ahead and see what Kathy's up to. K6SUN. Welcome back aboard, Kathy.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. And yes, I wanted to comment on Cinco de Mayo. It means May 5th, which is Monday, but it is not actually the Independence Day of Mexico. That usually takes place in September. But it has to do with Mexico and the United States. So, got a chance, research it. But I think I put it in some of those notes I gave you, and maybe you can share that later. But I have a question for anyone listening this evening. You know, Gordon and I are moving into it's a fantastic house, 2,300 square feet, a lot of open space, all tile floors, just two bedrooms are carpeted, the rest is all tiled. But most of the windows have what they call plantation shutters. They're, you know, very nice shutters, no window treatments, and, you know, the bathrooms, they have Venetian blinds on them, but we have one area, which is the patio door, which the owner decided to take the treatment for that window, and we're trying to decide what we should put in that window. We've had Venetian or vertical blinds here in Vero Beach, and with the kitty cat, there's hair all over it, and they collect a lot of dirt. I'm trying to go away from that. So I want to throw it out there to all of you remodelers and see what's your suggestion for Gordon and I for a patio door. I believe it's something like 84 by 84. We're looking for, it may be the width, not the length so much right now. We have a pink sheet up in the door, so we're looking for some suggestions. So if anyone with South Cars out there, remodeling, has any suggestions for us, we're looking for those. So I'll turn it back to you, Mike. Thanks once again. And no answer for that Indy 500 car. I'm not even going to make a guess. So back to you, WA1NXI.
Oh, very good, Kathy. Geez, I'll have to think about that. I can't think of anything right off the top of my head. But maybe somebody will have a suggestion or two. I should ask Elaine. She's an awesome interior decorator. She does all the inside stuff around our house. She picks out all the colors and stuff, and she does a really good job. The only one problem is if we get a new bedspread and it don't match the paint, I gotta paint the walls. I don't know if you can hear her laughing in the background. It's all fun and games now. But anyway, it's not as bad as I make it out to be. But if I happen to think of something, or maybe Elaine's got an idea floating around, she'll mention it. But anyway, Kathy, thanks for coming back aboard, and still no guess on the race car. I thought maybe you was researching it or something and found out the answer. But anyway, thanks for being there. Thanks for coming back aboard, and hope you come back aboard with some more comments and some more interesting facts about May. And when you said that you put something in the email about May 5th and, you know, U.S. and Mexico Day, Kathy, and then I went back and I checked my email again because I didn't remember getting that one, and I still don't see it there. So maybe I checked in my junk. I don't know why it would go there, but it's not there either. So I'm not sure. Maybe I accidentally deleted it or something. But anyway, I'll break with you, Kathy, and I believe that's the end of this list. So I'll work on another list. This is WA1NXI in the South Cars Family Global Hour. I'm looking for some more check-ins and or rechecks and comments and anything I can get.
RMO with a suggestion for the newlyweds.
All right, I'll let you go ahead and take it away. RMO with a suggestion for the newlyweds. So listen up, Kathy.
Thank you, sir. And Kath, I didn't hear the whole of what you had explained, only that you have this very large patio door, it sounds like, and you have a sheet going up across it, so apparently you're having trouble finding something to cover this thing with. My suggestion would be vertical blinds, because you were 80-something wide, I guess, and that's pretty big. So I would go with verticals because they look good on a big expanse. They're easy to hang, and, you know, they fill in the space very well, and they don't cost a whole lot if you shop right. So, you know, it's got a lot of things going for them. So that's my little home improvement suggestion if that will fill the bill. But I'd go with verticals. Better than, you know, trying to put up drapes or, you know, anything like that, or painting the windows or anything like that. You know. But I think you'd be better off with those. So with that, we'll go back to the net. KC2 RMO, back to you, Mike.
6, Victor.
Net recognizes 6, Victor, and I'm gonna take a guess that the vertical blinds was what you had in the other place, and the cat got them all dirty and hairy, so you're looking for something different. just kidding. But anyway, 6 Victor. Gordon, KY6B, welcome back.
Boy, I'll tell you what, Mike, you're good. And you know the situation. Hi, Gary, KY6B. Gary, you know, I think that's a reasonable suggestion. If you recall, when you and Stephanie were down here, we have these big bay windows in the family room at the current house. And they all have vertical blinds. Now, they do okay, but, you know, Miss Cuddles gets up there, wants to look outside at the birds and the bees and the sealing wax and the cabbages and the kings. She gets her hair all over these vertical blinds. Then the central hunter's fan, that I don't know if you recall or not, you know, dead center of the family room, cools the area and spews dirt all over these blinds. They're just a pain in the hoo to keep clean. We're looking for something maybe better, Gary. Any thoughts? Over.
I suggested, yeah, and now that you know you mentioned it, I have the picture again of how everything looked, but I came, you know, I just thought of the vertical blinds because I have a window downstairs in the entrance hall to the house, and It's a long, tall window. It's not particularly wide, but it's right next to the entryway door. And, you know, we were looking for something that would work well there. And we picked up some vertical blinds.
They're not hanging yet.
They're not hanging yet. We've had a few other priority projects that took precedence, but they're there to be hung, or I'll be hung, I'm not sure. They're there to, you know, eventually they're going up. But they don't cost a lot of money, and they, excuse me, and they you know, they look good. Now, there is a problem with a certain member of the feline community. I certainly understand how this goes, having two large members of the feline community hanging around right here. I guess no matter what you put up there, if it's plastic or, you know, anything that's going to be at least attractive to static electricity, you're going to get fur on it. You know, there's just no getting around that. Let me buy a nickel. Oh, go ahead. All right, let me buy a nickel. And we're back. Okay. And
what he needs to do is shave Nicole. That will take care of all the fur issues.
Well, there you have it. Another great answer coming your way through the auspices of KC2RMO and third-party traffic. So, okay, you could shave Cuddles. That's a possibility. Really, you know, anytime you get a cat involved with anything, you're going to get fur. That's for sure. So I think that's you're going to have to just, you know, kind of concede that one. I think. Other than that, you know, what else would work maybe is those, you know, those I forget what they call them. They're it's a shade that looks like paper. It looks like rippled paper. And you could probably get one in that size that would fit that, and that might look good. I don't know if you know if you're familiar with what I'm talking about, but they do look pretty good, and they're kind of trendy. And that I don't think would collect anything. So we'll go back to the net. KC2.
Oh, very good. There you go, Gordon, Kathy. I was trying to keep up with the text box there, but it was going kind of fast, and I was thinking that I might have missed something, but did Paul say to shave the cat? Is that what all the shaving talk was about? And I was thinking that same thing. If you wanted not to get the cat hair, you could always just shave the cat, and that would take care of that problem. And then I was going to tell you that I know what you mean about when the animals get up and leave dirt prints on stuff. Gemma leans on, she sleeps on in the hallway and leans on the wall, and I have to keep washing the little dirt spot that she leaves on the wall there. So I don't know. I don't have any suggestions for that except for wash it off. But anyway, I don't think I have anyone else on my list. I got two or three lists going here. I didn't want to miss anybody. I don't think I do. So I'll go ahead and open it up for some more check-ins. Well, actually, first I'll go to KW4LCB. With a comment and say, welcome aboard, stranger.
Well, good evening, Mike. Great day. Hello, come in.
Hello. All right, I got it. Good evening to you, Mike. KW4, my Charlie Bravo. Well, I don't know about the saving the cat there, but I can bring it home, Kathy. That's no problem. These pups stay pretty hungry all the time. But I was thinking about a film, Gordon. It comes in all different shades, and even there's a mirror type film that keeps one from looking in, you know, and also keeps some of the hot sun out there. So, you know, there's a whole a bunch of solutions. I do have some like a mesh wire plastic, but you know, you probably have to insert that from the outside. In fact, over on my Valencia house, I've got that back porch all screened in that, and you know, you could take a picture and of whatever you want and take it to these people, you know, and they'll photograph that right on to the top of the screen there. So you know, we can talk more about it when I see you there, how to resolve it there. But like I said, there's quite a few different ways to take care of that. And you know, they've got the metal verticals, they got the plastic verticals, and you had experience with the cloth verticals. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, back to net control.
Alright, thanks for sharing that, and I'll have to give Kathy or Gordon a chance to comment on that. Just gonna ask you where you been, George. I missed you on the morning that you must have been out feeding the horses or something. How you been?
We doing good, Mike. Good to hear you in there. We've been gone most of the day. In fact, just got back, I guess 20 minutes ago, and had to put something in my stomach there. Started to get that run-down feeling, so thought I better get revived here before I just fall out. But I'm, you know, more or less doing the same thing Kathy and Gordon's doing, moving stuff from one place to another place, and trying to keep these pups about ready to drive me absolutely nuts, man. Ain't no doubt about it. KW4, leave my Charlie Bravo.
Oh, very good, George. And yeah, I didn't get home much before the net myself. I'm glad I made it. Actually, I'm glad I got a reminder when I did. I was over at my son's, like I said, building this swing set, and you know how when you get busy and you don't think of something, it's right out of your mind. But I got an email, and it wasn't a direct reminder, but it made me think about it, and so I made it home, and probably have to grab something to eat after the net. I came home and got the wood stove going, and then got a little bit of info on me and stuff, and waited for the net to start. But I know what you mean about needing to get something to eat when you get home, when you get that famished feeling. I'm not quite there yet. My son did give me a couple pieces of pizza, so that'll hold me over till after the net. But anyway, George, thanks for being there, and thanks for coming aboard and sharing that suggestions. And I don't know if you see the text box, George, because you're on the Lincoln system, but Kathy did say thank you and said hello to you. So there you go. And I'll go ahead and drink with you, and we'll see who else we can get aboard. This is Whiskey Alpha 1, November X-Ray India, in the South Cars Global Family Hour. Looking for check-ins.
Kilo, Charlie 6, Zulu, Uniform, Delta. Well, I just want to say to everybody, I have 5 cats. And if you're going to have a cat, you're going to have fur. You're not going to be able to get around that. That's just, you know, there's going to be fur everywhere. But those cats are my babies, and I would do anything for them. I can't have kids, so the cats are basically my kids. But I think that also declawing cats is inhumane because, like, if they're outside, or if they're outside cats, they can't protect themselves. And I know, you know, I love cats, and I'm an animal lover, and that's just part of the territory. So, KC6ZUD is checking in.
And 6 Victor with a recheck.
All right, well, very good. Carrie, KC6ZUD, and yeah, I think that's kind of a given if you have some cats running around your house, or even dogs for that matter, or most any animals, you're gonna have some hair floating around. We certainly do here. My XYL don't like it when the cats get on the dinner table or on the counter, but they don't seem to mind too well. They do it anyway. We just vacuum it up. We don't have no rugs in our house, but we're still gonna invest in central vacuuming just to keep up on the animal hair. And I'm sure Kathy would never actually shave her cat. It was more of a joke than anything. So there you go, and thank you for coming aboard and sharing, and we appreciate the check-in. And I'll go ahead and break with you, and we'll go see what KY6V has to offer. So KY6V from WA1NXI.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Great net, sir. KY6V. Hi, Carrie. You know, she's out there in my home maiden state in California. Nice to have you here this evening, Carrie. I just want to tell you a little bit about the cat in this household. The name is Cuddles. Been with Kathy about 7 years, I would guess. Mike, I've known Cuddles for about 5 years, and I'll tell you, just the sweetest cat that you'd ever run into, but she is female, and she has her moments. And shaving is absolutely something that cannot be done. She's prim and proper. She wants to be herself. She wants to be groomed so that her hair is so long and flows in whatever direction she decides in. And she rules the house. So we have to build a window shade around her presence. KY6V, back to net.
One India.
Yeah, that sounds like our cat too, Gordon. He does what he wants to do, and we work around him. I don't know if you saw the... Oh, now it slipped my mind. You're going to say something about the text box. I don't know if you've seen the text box, but I mentioned in there about our cat was out last night. He's not really an outdoor cat. He goes out a little bit with me during the day, but yesterday my granddaughter let him slip through the door, and I couldn't sleep. I was up looking out the window and shaking the bag at temptations, the cat treat, shaking it, hollering to him, and about 1 o'clock he finally came back in, so I get to bed and get a little bit of sleep, but yeah, I was worried about him. Thought something might have happened to him because he's never been gone that long. But yeah, I know what you mean about cats wanting their hair the way they want it. We have another one we call Hobo. She's just a little cat. Jasper's a good sized cat. He's It's 18 pounds, but we got a little one we call Hobo just because he, you know, she showed up and we let her stay. And she's always cleaning herself, licking herself. Every night she's on our bed and cleans herself. And just can't imagine her with no hair. But anyway, Gordon, thanks for coming aboard again and sharing. An awesome net. I'm enjoying it. We'll see who else we can get to come aboard. This is WA1NXI. I'm reading the text box, and I'll call on WQ1I and then Gary, KC2RMO, for their comments. So WQ1I, come aboard with a comment.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Now, this is my kind of a net. You start off with a topic, and then, boom, it just takes on a life of its own, and they're the best ones, in my opinion, my humble opinion. WQ1I here in Danbury, Connecticut, having an awful lot of fun tonight. And I wanted to say hi to Carrie. I've seen Carrie connected a lot of times on these nets, and I never heard her talk. It was nice to hear you come in and say something. But five cats, my goodness. Wow. That's a lot of cats. Five cats. Anyway, Mike. Kathy. Okay. Yeah, I have met Cuddles, and she's lovely. She's a lovely, lovely little pussycat. And I know that you would never shave her, nor would she ever allow it, unless she was highly sedated. And so I was thinking, though, I saw this just stupid commercial going on TV. I don't even know what the commercial's for, which is not uncommon these days. But it features in the commercial this, I think it's a hamster. I don't know if it's a hamster or a gerbil or some little rodent pet, and it's in this little plastic ball, and I'm sure it has air holes in it so it can breathe, and the thing can, like, by walking on the ball, can go around all over the house inside this little ball. So I'm sure that we could rig something up like that for Cuddles, you know, enclose her in a ball, about plastic ball, about the size of a basketball. And, you know, she could walk in that, and it just rolls around. She could get all around the house, and all the stuff you don't want on your curtains or shades or whatever, you know, it would stay inside the ball, and then you just clean it out once in a while. So that's what I got to say about that. Aren't I helpful? Oh, Kathy's not happy with that. Okay, WQ1I, back to net.
Well, there you go, Paul. The ball would probably work. It'd be a hamster cat. I've seen those little hamster balls, but I guess you'd have to get a little bit bigger one. Poor old Cuddles would have to learn how to steer it around the house there. And when she got to the stairs, well, that'd be a fun thing to see. But anyway, Paul, thanks for bringing that up, and I'm sure Kathy's going to have a comment on that. But I'll go ahead and break with you, and I think it was RMO that also had a comment. If I got that right, RMO, was it you that had a comment, or did I make a mistake? I'll have to scroll back up and check it out. But anyway, RMO, welcome aboard.
Well, indeed it was. I did have a comment. And a couple of things. First of all, just to clarify the record, my wonderful wife unit would never in any seriousness suggest shaving a cat. Just to clarify that. You have to understand my darling wife's sense of humor. So that's number one. That's number one. Number two, I have also met Miss Cuddles, and Miss Cuddles is a very sweet pussycat. She's my pal. You know, I really like her. She's a great little kitty cat. But I would say, you know, certainly we wouldn't want to see anybody shaving her. Now, however, I would also suggest that that there's a compromise available here, and maybe a mohawk might be in order. So, just something to consider, you know. We'll just throw it out there. Or, you know, maybe a mullet. I don't know. But we'll go back to the net. KC2RMO, back to you, Mike.
Yeah, that would be an idea. And I'm sure everybody knew that it was just a joke, that she wouldn't actually shave down the cat. I want to hear a story. It's not about a cat or about the month of May, but we used to sit out back on the picnic table at our old house, and this little dog, kind of like a Pekingese-looking dog, started coming around and came around every night, and he was kind of a pain in the butt, and he had a little collar on and a name tag, and his name was Killer. And one time, I'm sitting out back having a couple beers, and here comes Killer, a little pain in the butt dog, so we shaved him up. We shaved him up and sent him on his way, and never seen Killer again after that. I think they probably kept him on the chain or something, but that was the end of him coming around, so kind of missed the little guy after he wasn't coming around anymore. But anyway, that's what shaving the cat reminded me of. I'll go ahead and break with you, and I seen in the text box that DXP wanted to come aboard with a comment, so I'll go ahead and hand it over to VXP from WA1NXI.
This is N1VXP. You know, it's funny, while you guys were talking about that, I had a phone call from my cousin up in Maine, and I know that they've got two dogs and two cats that are pretty well indoor cats throughout most of the day. They go out at daytime. One is a Irish setter, and the other is a full-size poodle. And the two cats are Maine Coons. Anybody knows Maine Coons have got long hair, and they do shed. But my cousin said to me, she said, let them know, check with the vet. There's a diet of high amino acid in the diet that will cut down on the shedding. Because I was up there in May, or July of last year, and I noticed, I said, wow, these cats aren't shedding. And she says, well, they're on a special diet. I said, what about the dog? And she says, well, he tends to shed some, but it seems like very little. And I think it was the idea that she said the vet had the great idea, making sure the diet was proper, that would help cut down on the shedding. They also have an area where they have these vertical blinds, but what they did was the bottom 6 or 8 inches, they put a different type of material on them, and that seemed to be where the cat hair was before was sticking to, but it does not seem to work that hard. You know, it doesn't stick on there very much, and what does, you can just brush it off very lightly. And it actually made the blinds look nice. And N1GXP, back to net control.
Oh, very good, Rick. And I'll let Kathy come aboard and comment on that and see what she thinks of that idea. And I have heard that about a special diet that'll help keep animals from shedding. Not sure what kind of diet that would be. And the Maine Coon cat, we had one of those for a couple days. He didn't stay very long. He was a great big cat when we got him. And we had him in the house the first night, and he stayed right on the back of our bed on the shelf, and he was staring at me and growling at me all night long. I was scared to go to sleep. And the next day, he got out and he went somewhere. He went under the house for a little while and couldn't get him, and he got away, and we didn't have him long enough so that he knew that it was his home, so we didn't get to know him like we do the cats that we have now. So there you go. But he was a big monster cat, that's for sure. Kind of wish he would have stuck around. Hopefully he went and found himself a good home. But anyway, thanks for coming aboard and sharing that, and I'll see if Kathy has any comments or anything to say about any of the suggestions so far. WA1NXI over the K6SUN.
Well, thank you, Mike, for turning my direction. I'm not sure I want to respond to anything, but thanks for the suggestions. It's not an option to shave Miss Cuddles. What's happening right now, which happened last year, she loses hair. Right now she's losing it on her legs. And I don't know if it's something to do with the carpeting or maybe going under the couch and getting in dust. But, you know, thanks. And I think it was Rick that told me about the vertical blinds. We're trying to go away from the vertical blinds, the cloth. I do see there's wood. I do see there's plastic. And I always had curtains in my houses in Michigan. Never had the vertical blinds. So that's about all I'll say. I appreciate all your comments. Gary and Paul, you definitely are in trouble. So we'll have to deal with you when you come visit. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Mike. Great session tonight. A little bit off topic. Sorry about that. But I was very curious and seeing what answer I can get. So I'll turn it back to you as you continue with your net. Made fun this evening.
Oh, very good, Kathy. Yeah, I got a little off topic, but it's been fun. We're having a little bit of May fun here tonight, I guess. And I'll go ahead and break with you, and we'll see if anybody else wants to come aboard and get on the log, or any comments, or anyone want to get back on topic with May fun, things they do in Maine, or anything. It doesn't have to be about that topic. Just want to get on the log and say hello. That's great too. WA1NXI, looking for check-ins and or comments.
Back X-ray, comment for Kathy.
Lima, Hotel Tango.
Gilbert, net recognizes Q. Oh no, was it Rebecca? I can't remember. It's QYL. I know it was you, Rebecca, and I'm sorry I missed the call. I get you and Jim mixed up. But anyway, welcome aboard, Rebecca, and if you fill your call, I'll write it right down and get you on the log. And thanks for coming aboard. And I did hear LHT, and please stand by, and I'll pick you right up. Very
well, I'll thank you. This is Rebecca, KV4QA. And what I wanted to say to Kathy, I know that Cuddles is accustomed to going with you when you go from place to place during the normal routine of your school year. But I feel like, and I may be incorrect, but you will know, I feel like she's not accustomed to her house getting changed as much as it's being changed right now, with y'all getting things ready to move and moving stuff out, Gordon moving in, et cetera, et cetera. And this change in her environment may be throwing her into a stress reaction in addition to everything new that she's being exposed to that she's not accustomed to, with y'all pulling stuff out and all the environmental stuff, the nutrition stuff, etc., etc. Just one more item to keep in the back of your mind that might be affecting her. All right, y'all take care. This is Rebecca, KB4QX. Back to net control.
Oh, very good, Rebecca, and you got a point there. Animals and cats in general notice when things are changing. She's probably wondering where everything's going and why everything's different, but it don't take them long to adjust. Our cats were used to it in a matter of days. Well, Jasper was the other one we didn't have until she just showed up and we let her stay. But yeah, they adjusted pretty well actually. And we have kind of the same thing as Kathy, but it's not falling out. The hair is not coming off the legs. It's like right underneath their ears. They got little spots where the hair is thinning, and not quite sure what that's all about, but maybe scratching or something. But anyway, good suggestions there, Rebecca, and thanks for coming aboard. This is WA1NXI and the Global Family Hour. Just wanted to identify before I forget and go over my time there, and we'll go pick up was it LHT? I think that's what I wrote. Sometimes I have a hard time reading my own writing here. LHT, welcome to the Family Global Hour.
Yeah, WA1NXI. Good morning there, Mike. Call here is Kilo Bravo 9 Lima Hotel Tango, and you got my suffix right there. And that's 30 after 10 in the morning here, Sunday morning here. And well, the weather here is around, I believe it's in the 80s here, but it feels like in the 90s outside. I just took a peek outside, and boy, it's really, really hot. And some of my next door neighbor here, they're whacking their weed and doing some mowing, but I live in an apartment, so I don't pretty much our grass is taken care of by the landlord here. Well, I don't know what's the topic. I know it's May, but since I heard a few people talk about cats and dogs, don't own a cat or a dog. I used to at left back in Indiana, but it's well taken care of by my wife's family. You don't want to abandon my dog, though. So I gave it up to my sister-in-law to take care of our dogs. But I've seen a couple of stray dogs and cats that are roaming around in the apartment there at night. And usually I go out there and I feed them. I know my other neighbors here will be probably wondering if I'm if I'm okay, you know, I'm all right feeding them. But I said, you know, I'm an animal lover and couldn't help it. Can't watch the poor thing go starving, you know. So I couldn't help it. So I just bring out whatever I have, leftovers, and I make sure I debone them because our building maintenance, he owns the dog, and I don't think he knows about feeding chicken to a dog. You have to debone it before it gets choked. So that's what happened. Get choked and die. So anyway, the month of May here, there's a lot of things going on here on this end, the month of May. May's, we are celebrating the tourism month on May, and there's a lot of things going on the weekend here. You have the Taste of Marianas here. It's down at downtown Garrison. It's a Taste of Marianas is basically all the chefs from different hotels and restaurant owners. They all come around and then they kind of show off their what they have as regards some kind of cuisine like Chinese or Japanese or American and Italian, you know, all sorts of different culture food here. So that's what's going on here in the weekend. for the rest of the month of May here. Every weekend they always get together and get some entertainment and stuff. So that's down at the held at the Downtown Gaffney. Actually, it's in the American Memorial Park. It's where it's happening. So back to you, Mike, before this thing times me out. WA1NXI from KB9 Lima Hotel Tango, Stroke King Henry Zero.
Oh, very good. And that sounds like my kind of celebration. I'd like to be there and check that out. Anything to do with people bringing food, I enjoy those kind of celebrations. Always willing to try new food for sure. And I also love all or almost all animals. I've always been that way since I was a kid. I think I was raised that way, to have respect and love for animals, and always had pets, and can't imagine not having them. But I guess if I lived in an apartment and couldn't have them, I'd have to find a way to deal with that. But anyway, thanks for being there, and thanks for coming aboard. And not, I hope I don't make myself sound stupid here, but where exactly is it Saipan? Is that how you say that? Saipan Island?
You got there right there, Mike. So, yeah, it's Saipan Island. And, yeah, it's where we're like 200 miles south of Guam Island. I don't know if you know that. And, 200 miles south of Guam Island. And there's another island in between Saipan and Guam. It's called Rota, which is close, a little bit close to Guam Island. You can see from the horizon at night, the lights from Rota Island looking over towards Guam Island. And then the third island from Guam is Tinian Island. And that's pretty much a World War II memorial place, because that's where they built that runway there for the B-27 bomber taking off to Nagasaki, Japan. So there's a lot of history on that island. And then after Tinian Island, we're just not far from Tinian Island. You can see it so close. That's where I'm at, Saipan Island. So a little bit of the history here. I think I'll give it back to you there, Mike, and I'll probably listen for a little bit here. And I'm just waiting for Old Miss there, my ex-wife, to wake up. And I believe we're going to do a little bit house chore here. And then maybe the rest of the afternoon, maybe we might go drive down to the American Memorial Park where that thing going on, the Taste of Mariana. So over to you there, Mike. WA1NXI, to take it. This is KB9 Lima Hotel Tango, portable King Henry Zero, Saipan Island.
Oh, very good, and thanks for coming back with that. I got a basic idea of where you're at now, and when your better half wakes up there and you get down to that park and enjoy yourself, stay cool and have fun, and hopefully we'll hear more from you down the log. Thanks for coming aboard. And once again, I've reached the end of my list and don't see any comments in the text box, so I'll open it up for general check-ins. This is WA1NXI and the Family Global Hour. We're looking for some more check-ins and or comments.
RMO.
Net recognizes RMO. I hope I didn't forget you on the last call up, but anyway, welcome back aboard.
Well, thank you, sir. Just to get back to cats for a minute, our little guy here, Cicero, we have two cats, for those who are unfamiliar with the story of our cats. Mr. Jingles is a giant cat. He's a big old black and white cat, and he looks like a panther, and everybody's totally afraid of him until they get to see him up close, and then he turns out to be the sweetest cat you ever saw. He's just this big, gentle giant. You know, he's just a great cat, a great pal. And there's my little guy, who is, Jingles is about 24 pounds. Cicero is about 18 pounds. And Cicero is a little gray striped cat, and relatively little gray striped cat. And he's a little mischief maker. And but he's a groomaholic. That's what I was getting to me. He has this routine. He hops up on the counter in the bathroom, and we have a special brush for him that we use. And he likes to get his fur groomed, and he does this about 5 times a day. And then he has a drink at the sink. You know, that's his routine. That's the high point of his day. He gets in treats in the kitchen, and he gets groomed, and he gets his little drink, and he gets his treats, and he's a happy camper for about 20 minutes, and he wants to do it all over again. You know, but that's our little guy. But the cat, what I was going to say, one of the things that works for me, you know, anyway, with this, and I think it works with both Steph and I, when we get stuck on an idea like that, you know, we go shopping. You know, it's like you go and you just look at stuff and you say, oh yeah, that'll work, and you know, that's going to cost a fortune and blah blah blah. But you go out and you take a look around and you just, you know, see some of the ideas that are out there, and that's always pretty good. And I was thinking, you know, if you had like a Pier 1 always has stuff like that window coverings that aren't expensive and really might not be the first thing that you look at, you know.
Or you Google it and you shop on Pinterest.
What about Brylane? Do you think Brylane might?
Well, they're not cheaper.
Well, why pay more, you
cheaper
know?
Quality.
Oh, cheaper quality, okay. But I'd go with Pier 1 either online or in Poison.
Well, I would just Google what you're looking for.
But that's the idea. If you don't have an idea, you want to go and get some ideas.
You can get the ideas online. Why wear out your feet and use gas?
I'm not even going there. No, I know what you're saying, but I think you have to be there in person to absorb.
But you have to know what you're looking for.
Well, that's the thing. You walk into an environment, you get the ideas from the environment. Mr. Jingles is up on Steph's desk now, soaking it up, so it's good. It always gets back to cats, is what it is. But that's the thing, though. I would say, you know, do a little shopping around like that and see what ideas you can cook up with, because that's where we get a lot of inspiration from anyway. So that's my 2 cents worth. We'll go back to the net. KC2RMO, back to you, Mike.
All right. Thanks for coming back aboard, and I'm sure Kathy was listening, and when you were talking about grooming your cat, I was going to say our cat Jasper likes that too. When I combing the dog or brushing the dog out, the cat will come over and sit next to us, and I give her a little brushing too, and she'll sit there and purr, or he'll sit there and purr. Hobo don't like it, but Jasper loves it. And I was going to mention to Kathy, I don't know why I didn't think of this when she first asked, but we have two patio doors that go out onto our deck. I believe they're called French doors. But the shade is inside the window. You can't touch the shade. It's like a glass on both sides of the shade, and there's a slide on the side that goes up and down that brings the shade up and down, and then there's one on the top, a little slide that you slide to open and close them, not lift them up, but like a regular shade when you pull the string and they open. They tilt, I guess you'd call it, open and close tilting, or open and close going up and down, but the shades are actually built right into the door, so don't know if you wanted to spend a lot of money on doors or not, Kathy, but that would be one suggestion. And let me see. I did it again. I thought I had another station on my list, but I guess I don't, so I'll go ahead and open it up for general check-ins. WA1NXI, looking for check-ins.
6 Vector, recheck.
1 India.
Net recognizes KY6B, 1 India. Paul, stand by and I'll be right with you. We'll go ahead and pick up 6 Victor. Welcome back, Gordon.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Couple of comments, KY6B here. Let me clarify my thinking on your doors up there in Maine. Are you saying that the shade is between the outside door and the inside door as opposed to being on the inside of the living area? Over.
Well, there's only one... Well, there's two doors, but they're French doors. They're side by side. And they got a piece of glass, like a double pane window with two pieces of glass in it. And the shade is in between the two pieces of glass in the door.
That's interesting. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that, Mike. Well, thank you for that. I'm sure we'll get this situation taken care of. I'd like to tell everybody that our website guy out there in Louisiana by the name of Steve and suffix of Victor Hotel has planted a picture of Kathy's cuddles on the front page of the website. So if you want to see who we've been talking about tonight, there it is. I want to remind everybody that our get-together for the Rag Chew tomorrow, Mike, will be talking about new homes being rentals or buying or whatever. We got a lot to say about that between Kathy and I over what we've gone through here over the last 4 weeks. So stay tuned. I think we'll have some fun. There was one other question I wanted to make. Don't forget about picking up Steve before he goes to sleep on us to give us an answer on car number 40, KY6V. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, very good, Gordon. Well, I'm gonna have to go check out the homepage there and get a eyeball and on Miss Cuddles there and see what she looks like. And I've never met her. I've never been that lucky like some of the other people here. just kidding there. But yeah, I'll have to check that out and see Cuddles. And I was just thinking that. Same thing about, don't forget about getting the answer from Steve. I actually made a little note up in the corner here. I put 40 with a question mark, hoping that would remind me to get back to that question. So before I let it slip my mind, I'll go ahead and call on Steve, KF5VH, there I go, and see if he wants to see if any, or let us know if anybody got the correct answer or not, or tell us the correct answer. But somehow I think I got it right. The first time that car won a race was in May. So Steve, if you don't mind, come aboard and fill everybody in on the importance of the number 40 car there.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Although, after the Cuddles hour here, the number 40 seems rather insignificant. The comment about Studebaker earlier, I had not heard that before, that Studebaker was part of the sponsorship, which I find unusual because I grew up in South Bend, Indiana, Mishawaka is right next door. They share a border. And the Studebaker plant was in Mishawaka. So I'm really surprised I hadn't heard that. The number 40 was driven by Parnelli Jones. And the reason why I consider it important is it's the only turbine car that ran without a restriction. Andy Granatelli put the car together. It qualified number 6, and when the race started, it went to the front. And with 4 laps to go, they lost a bearing in the transmission and did not win the race. And it had performed so wonderfully that the people that control the race decided that in the next year they had to restrict an inlet restrictor, essentially starve the turbine of air to try to power it down. Let me feed the meter here. It was sort of funny because Indy was always used to develop things to move into production cars. And if they hadn't done that, and turbines had become the engine of Indianapolis, maybe we'd all be driving cars now with turbines. They tried in 1968. The next year, they had 2 turbines in there. One was the 56 Lotus turbine. I don't remember the other one. And they both got within 9 laps of the finish, and both of them broke, if I remember right, the fuel pump shaft. So, again, they performed well even with the restriction, and both of them failed for something other than the turbine blowing up. And then in 69, they further restricted the inlet, and that car did not even qualify for the race. So I consider the 40 important because it was the only turbine that raced full-blown without restrictions. That's it from Louisiana tonight. I've really enjoyed the net. I certainly have considered it fun in May. Back to you, Mike, KF5VH.
Very good. And I can't really remember, but somebody answered something similar to that, and I believe Paul was correct, saying that it was the first turbine. Or, is that what you called it, a turbine? I always thought it was a turbo, or maybe it's 2 different things. But Paul was right on there, so it was. There were some correct answers, I guess. They didn't. Nobody got the whole thing right. But there was a lot of real close answers there. So congratulations to everyone that did get that. And I see Rick N1BXP has a comment, so we'll go ahead and pick him up and see what he has to say. Maybe he has something to add to that. So N1BXP, Rick, welcome back aboard.
Yes, N1BXP. I put in the text box about the 1967 turbine car built. Yeah, under Parnelli. I mean, not Parnelli, but it was a Studebaker. I guess they had to do a make of a car, and it was considered a Studebaker turbine. And, when it had the breakdown, it was lap number 197, and they found it was nothing more than a $6 part that had broken. So, if they would have won the race, yeah, they would have definitely ended up having quite a bit of restrictions on the future turbine cars. But, you know, it's just, like I said, I remember being at one of the places where they did do the closed-circuit TV televising, and I remember it was like everybody in the hall place went, oh, because they were all thinking it would have been great to have, you know, such a great car to finish the race. And it was something else. But like I said, it was a Studebaker turbine car that I think would have really turned people's eyes
quite a bit if it would have won on that first year. N1GXV back to net control.
Well, very good. Rick, and yeah, I wouldn't know about that kind of stuff. I don't really follow those Indy cars. Once in a while I'll watch a NASCAR race, but I'm glad that you knew that. I remember Studebakers, but I don't really remember what they had for motors and stuff. But yeah, if they would have won, I'm sure it would have changed a few things. It's too bad that they had that bad luck right at the end of the race. I've seen that happen quite a few times. Somebody would be doing awesome for the whole race, and then right towards the end of it, something like that will happen, and that's got to be a disappointing feeling, being so close and not win. But anyway, I'll go ahead and break with you, and we'll see if Steve or anyone else has any comments on the on what you had to say about the Studebaker there. Rick, this is W81NXI. Mike, you're up here in the great state of Maine. This is the fam of the South Cars Global Family Hour. I feel like I got a frog in my throat or something here. I have to go get a drink of water. But anybody else? Oh, I guess I did. I forgot WQ1I, and my apologies, Paul. My paper is getting kind of full here, and I've got notes going sideways and crossways. And I'm sure you know how it is, Paul. But anyway, WQ1I, welcome back.
Mike? Oh, I forgot what I was going to talk about. I think it had to do with lava lamps. That's so far in the rearview mirror now, I don't even think it's pertinent at this point. It's just too much off topic. Lava lamps. I can't believe Kathy doesn't know what a lava lamp is. Seriously? A lava lamp. Gorgeous. I want one on top of my piano. I found the website that sells them. Reasonably priced, too. I used to have one when I was in high school in my bedroom. And it would be on all night. And nights that I couldn't sleep, it would just sit there staring at the lava lamp. I think it would be a nice addition to the top of my piano there. What do you think of that, Gary? I'm really interested in your opinion on that. Cuddles is so adorable. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. I'm glad that Carrie got to see the picture. She was having a hard time loading it. That's it, Mike. I got nothing else. Nothing else. Back to net. WQ1I.
Alrighty, Paul. I must have missed that in the text box. It was moving a little fast there a couple times, and I couldn't keep up. I must have missed that Kathy didn't know what a lava lamp was. Wow, where was Kathy in the 60s and 70s, I guess. But yeah, I remember those, Paul. I was never that fond of them. I never went out and got one. My grandmother had one, and I liked it a little bit at first, but I guess I never seen the thrill in it. But to each their own, I guess. But anyway, I don't know if Kathy looked it up or not, but yeah, she might like those lamps. They have some that you touch to turn on. Kathy, have you ever seen those? Those are pretty cool. If you get one of those ones that you touch it once and it comes on, touch it again, it's a little brighter, and touch it again, it's a little brighter. Those are pretty cool, because if you get the right frequency or the right power or something, I'm not sure what made it work, but when I used to key up my mic, I'd turn the lamp on, and every time I keyed it up, it'd be just like I touched the lamp, it'd get brighter. Bright, brighter than off. It was pretty funny. But anyway, thanks for coming aboard, Paul. And we'll see if Kathy has any comments or anyone else has any comments. Oh, Gary has a comment, so we'll go ahead and pick up Gary. Welcome back, Gary, from WA1NXI over to KC2MO.
Well, thank you, sir. And lava lamps, oh my gosh. I love lava lamps. I've owned many a lava lamp, and actually I had one fairly recently. Do you recall, dear, my last lava lamp?
Gail?
Yeah. It was,
yeah.
But I had that going, and I don't know, what did we give it back to Gail? That's my youngest daughter.
No, it's probably in a box somewhere.
But we actually still have it.
Because
I had it in my shack.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not hallucinating, friends. I actually did. I had a lava lamp that belonged to my youngest daughter, when she flew the coop left behind, and I dearly love lava lamps. I had one when I was 16 or 17. I remember I took the proceeds from my job at the drugstore and proudly walked down to Marshall Street and bought a lava lamp. Well, back then they were a little pricey.
Oh,
yeah. So through the years I've acquired one or two more, but the last one I had was about maybe 5 years ago, somewhere around there, and I had it set up in my shack as a delightful display. So I would strongly urge Kath, if you're not familiar with one, Google that, and you might want to pick one up. Let me buy a next. And those touch lamps that Mike was talking about, we have one here, and it's really funny because the way that works is there's a capacitive interference when you touch the base of that, you change the capacitance and it activates the circuit. And RF will do the same thing. So, Kathy, gee, Gary, were you ever that young? No, I wasn't. it's really funny. On ours, we have it in our bedroom. And you can always tell when I'm on 20 meters because this thing will go on when I'm on 20 or 40. It's really funny. It's like clockwork. It's great. So, but yeah, enjoy a lava lamp. Everybody should have one. And I think, you know, there are plenty of places on the web to get one nowadays. Spencer Gifts sold them. But I mean, if you just go on online and just type in lava lamp, I'm sure you could pick them up from anywhere from $9.99 to $100. I don't know. But Kathy needs table lamps, she says, not lava lamps. So maybe they have a lava table lamp. I don't know. We'll have to check this out. Do some research on it. Anyway, back to the net. This is KC2RO.
Oh, very good. And I believe that's when I was working 20 meters that lamp was going on and off. That's my favorite HF band is 20 meters. I worked it quite a lot when I had my antennas up and stuff. And I didn't know if it was the power doing it or what exactly did it. But I thought that was pretty cool. I could run that light with the radio. And I'm not sure how true this is or not. I've never been able to do it, but I heard that if you go through some of those easy pass lanes, that if you get the right frequency, you can key in and change it to a green light, get to go with your radio. Just something I heard, not sure how true that is, but anyway, Kathy, I'm sure you already did look that up and check them out. They are pretty cool. They make different designs. There's like liquid floats up in them when they heat up. They're pretty cool. And there's a store right here in Farmington that sells them. I call it the hippie store, but the real name of it's Liquid Sunshine. They sell incense and all the hippie stuff. And they have lava lamps in there, so they're still around, that's for sure. And I'll go ahead and break with you, Gary, and we'll see who else, if anyone else wants to come aboard, or anyone else has any comments. This is WA1NXI and Family Global Hour, looking for some more check-ins and or comments.
Six, Victor.
Net recognizes KY6B, and I'm sorry, Gordon, I did see that in the text box, and then I forgot all about it, but anyway, welcome back.
Well, thanks, Mike. KY6B here, Gordon. You know, got to tell you a little story about lava lights, and I think I'm going to have to sit down and explain some of this to Kathy, because she, you know, was raised in Michigan and now living down here in Florida. But for a guy that was born in the Hawaiian Islands, for a guy whose mother came from a family of 10, two boys and eight girls, from a guy whose mother's family was raised on the volcano, from a guy that grandfather was the chief potentate for the Mauna Kea volcano park, and a lot of stories go behind that. These kids grew up, Mike, all 10 of them, running across the lava, barefooted. My mother, when she passed away at about 86, as I recall, of age, still had a quarter of an inch of calluses on the bottom of her feet. Let me buy a nickel. She could walk across a whole platform of broken glass and not bother her a bit. So I know an awful lot about a lava. And I guess it's going to be my choice here to sit Kathy down and explain what a lava light is all about. Hey, thanks. Great evening tonight, sir. KY6V, back to net. Over.
Oh, very good, Gordon. And wow, that's something I didn't realize, that walking on lava would do that to your feet. But I guess it's makes sense. Your feet would adjust to walking on that. I've never really seen real live lava. I picture it as kind of like coral, Gordon. I don't know how accurate that thought is, but that's how I picture it when it's after it's all cooled off and hard. I picture it as looking like coral, kind of. I don't know how I got that picture in my head, but that's just the way I think of it. But I guess that makes sense. I know when I was real young and I lived in Ethiopia, I was an army brat, and I used to run around barefoot all the time, and the pavement was hot, and my feet just got used to that. It never bothered me to go barefoot. I couldn't do it now. I got used to shoes. But anyway, thanks for coming back aboard, Gordon, and sharing that. And you definitely have to get Kathy one of those lava lamps so that she can have one, because nobody should go through their whole life without having a lava lamp. And I'll go ahead and break with you, Gordon, and we'll see if anyone else wants to come aboard. This is WA1NXI in the South Cars Family Global Hour. I'm looking for some more check-ins and or more comments. I'm not hearing any, and it's getting to be about that time anyway. I'm going to have to close up here and go put some wood in the wood stove and get ready to hit the hay and stuff. So I'll see if anyone wants to come aboard with any announcements or any info that people need to know before we wrap it up. And I know one of the announcements is about the drag chew tomorrow. I hope everybody that was here tonight and people that weren't tune in and come aboard. That should be a pretty good net, because I'm sure we've all moved and from one place to another over our lifetimes. Well, maybe not everybody. I have heard of people living and being born in the houses that they, I mean, die in the houses that they were born in, live there their whole life. But anyway, it'll be a interesting Sunday rag chew, so I hope everybody makes that. And I'll see if Gordon or Kathy or anyone has any other announcements that they'd like to throw out there before I close the net. This is WA1NXI over to KY6V or K6SUN or anybody that has some announcements or anything of importance to say. WA1NXI, looking for somebody to do some announcements, or somebody that wants to get checked in, or somebody that has a comment, or somebody that wants to say hi, or anything. Just looking for somebody.
Six Victor.
Matt recognizes KY6B. Thanks for coming aboard, Gordon.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I think that the announcements that were necessary have been made tonight. I will tell everybody that's assembled here, we've got some changes coming up in the normal scheduling of our South Cars Nets. This will be on the breaking news here probably by Sunday. We're doing some shifting around of schedules for our Global and our Rag Chew and our TIN, and adding a couple of extra nets. I won't go into it in detail right now, Mike, but let everybody know, stay alert, stay tuned, and you'll be with the pulse. KY6V, back to you, Mike, over.
All right, very good, and thanks for bringing that up, Gordon. I remember that from this morning, but maybe there's people listening that didn't hear that this morning, and you have to keep an eye on the VOIP Southcars website and find out what all the new changes are going to be, times and places and all that good stuff. But anyway, I'll go ahead and open it up for anybody with any final comments or the final check-ins before I wrap it up. WA1NXI, opening it up for final comments. All right, I guess it's about that time to wrap it up. I'd like to say thanks to everybody for making it a wonderful, fun net tonight. I enjoyed it, and I hope everyone else did. Scrolling down here to... you know what I did? I changed I had the preamble page all up, and I changed it over so I could see that car. Now I gotta get back to the preamble here. It'll take me a second. Yeah, this has been the South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, VOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on the voip.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session has been Mike. My call is Whiskey Alpha 1, November, X-Ray India. And I'll say 73s to everybody and turn all connected nodes and repeaters and such back to normal amateur radio use. And this session of the South Cas Net is closed. And thanks again, everybody, for making it a wonderful net.